This is the discussion portion of the May 2021 meeting of the concept study group. My name is Karen. We will hear a lead share from Julianne V on concept 5, followed by about 30 to 40 minutes of open discussion on the concept. We are now recording this meeting and we'll be sharing the audio of this meeting on acawso.org. The recording may also be referred to for the development of literature on the 12 concepts. If you choose to participate in today's discussion, please keep your shares general enough so that you are not personally identifiable. I will now turn over the meeting to Julianne. And before you start your lead share, just tell us a little bit about who you are and your experience with ACA service.
Before I start, okay. I'm Julianne, a recovering adult child. I came to service through Al-Anon, actually, because in Al-Anon is where I was taught how important service was. And when I came into ACA a few years ago, I almost immediately jumped into service. I started by starting a meeting on my side of Indianapolis because there wasn't one. When the pandemic hit, I helped co-found what has now turned into 3 virtual meetings for We Agnostics. I do literature review. I've worked with the RIA committee. I work with this group. I'm working to start a study group on knowledge-based decision-making. I'm part of the MSSC subcommittee on meeting norms and standards. I'm probably leaving something out, but like most of us who do service, I do more than just, oh, I'm a delegate for We Agnostics. Like most of us who do service, I do more than one thing. So I have time to myself. I told Karen that when I timed to myself, I actually went about 11 minutes. She said she wouldn't cut me off. I will do my best. So concept 5, there's a lot of information in the single sentence that makes up concept 5. And concept 5 reads again as, throughout our structure, a right of petition prevails, thus assuring us that minority opinion will be heard and that petitions for the redress of grievances will be carefully considered. So I'm going to touch briefly on 4 major points: the minority opinion, substantial unanimity, right of petition or appeal, and the redress of personal grievances. So the history of this concept from AA talks about the extreme effort taken to assure the minority has a second opportunity to present its views. Even after extensive debate and vote, even with substantial unanimity achieved, those who are opposed are, and this is important, polled individually to see if they wish to speak further to their minority view. People with a minority opinion are often too intimidated to speak up, and we as ACAs ought to understand and be sensitive to the fear of authority figures that can keep many from speaking without specific invitation. In ACA, we also deal with multiple language issues, and asking people directly could allow them the opportunity to speak up when they otherwise would avoid the potential embarrassment. The minority, according to AA, has an actual duty to present its views. I've taken that duty to heart in my personal service work. I was trained on the concepts in Al-Anon, where it is believed that it is essential that everyone listen with honest consideration to all views on the issues. Al-Anon taught me, and I'm quoting here, inviting those in the minority to speak out and listening to them with full hearts and consideration helps us maintain unity. When we hear, understand, value, and incorporate minority opinions into our decision, we may avoid mistakes that can occur when we are angry, hasty, misinformed, or rigid. Practicing consideration compels a thorough debate, keeps us all focused on the issue at hand, and validates the worth and dignity of each member. A minority in Al-Anon that feels strongly that the majority is in error has not only the right, but the duty to speak out or to file a minority report stating their views. What I've learned is it takes courage to speak up, something that we don't always have early in recovery and sometimes even well into our recovery. That doesn't mean that our opinion is wrong or inappropriate. And as a fellowship, we probably lose out on a lot of good ideas by not actively reaching out to those who don't agree with us. If we in ACA truly care about being an inclusive fellowship, it's important that we consider every member's opinion, often through the voice of a trusted servant. The concepts are a great way to work with fellow travelers in a way that allows us to move past our laundry list traits. And allowing the opinion of the minority offers many possibilities in recovery. It allows the ability to move from being a victim to a participant. It allows an opportunity to move out of isolation, resolve fear of authority figures, take accountability for our own beliefs, and discover a sense of self-worth, among other things. Substantial unanimity, although not specifically mentioned in the wording of this concept, is a part of the spirit of it. I think it's important because we could just as easily pass all our motions with a 51% approval if we didn't talk about what substantial unanimity means. At the ABC, we use a two-thirds majority. And according to historical documents from AA and Al-Anon, this is pretty standard for minor changes and elections. Although I've also read, specifically from AA, that substantial unanimity is defined as, and I quote, the same as that required to change the steps, traditions, or concepts at the AA fellowship level, which is 75% of all members required to affirm the change, referencing traditions 1, 4, and 9. All fellowships I looked at have provisions to handle a lack of substantial unanimity. Al-Anon specifically uses knowledge-based decision-making to make sure that substantial unanimity is often achieved prior to enacting changes that will impact the entire fellowship. They use that in their conference, which is like our annual business conference. Al-Anon is also careful to remember that in cases where substantial unanimity overrides the voice of the minority, that respectfully hearing and carefully considering the minority's suggestions assures us that we will always be considered and feel like a valued participant. One of the greatest personal frustrations I have with ACA is the lack of time spent considering fellowship-wide change. And substantial unanimity, I think, is important for a bottom-up organization, which is how 12-step fellowships are designed. And I feel that we don't always give the time for that. And sometimes it isn't about the percentages required to pass something. Sometimes it's about making sure that the time is taken to hear everyone's voice so no one feels disenfranchised. Included in this concept is the right of appeal. This permits any person in the service structure, whether paid or volunteer, to petition for redress of a personal grievance. Different fellowships have different ways of doing this, and I won't go into that. The right of petition allows anyone to be heard for a personal grievance and provides the opportunity to carry that complaint all the way to the Board of Trustees, either in written form or in person. This is important to restrain the abuse of authority. Standards of behavior are critical, and I read in both AA and Al-Anon literature that they recognize the need for direction and discipline in order to perform service duties. However, and I think ACA would agree, abuse of power and control is unacceptable, and no one should suffer silently enduring that kind of abuse. So the question I have for you is, do you know what the petition process is in ACA? And where is that process defined? And how was it defined? Personally, I'd like to see a third party style system created to address petitions and appeals. Again, that's just a personal perspective. Recovery fellowships, I feel, need to be particularly careful about reprisals as they can quickly turn into domineering behavior. Unfortunately, the right of petition is something most in the fellowship don't know about. And I think we do a disservice to the fellowship by not providing better education on the right of petition. The study group is a great start, and I hope the newly conceived online blog ACA is working to bring about will have a section for educating the fellowship about the structure and workings of the fellowship, including practical applications of the traditions and the concepts. Right of petition and redress of grievances also touch on laundry list traits, specifically those traits that speak to fear of people and authority figures and those who act out by dominating others. As a fellowship, I feel it's our responsibility to provide a space where we are safe to file the grievance and make sure that those in a position of power are not abusing that power in response. So, as a summation, whether I am acting as a member of the fellowship or from a position of trusted servant, I work diligently to express the opinion of the minority. I am also incredibly aware that people get frustrated and even angry with me when I raise my hand again and again and again to express a minority opinion. I was at a committee meeting yesterday where a vote was taken and I was the only dissenting vote. After the vote, no minority opinion was requested. I still spoke up saying that even though the vote was over, I was going to ask my question. Interestingly, this brought about new discussion. The minority opinion is not there simply to piss people off. It's there because we cannot, with our own narrow lens of perspective, think of every option or every possibility. Minority opinion is critical to make sure we do not shove change through the fellowship without consideration to how that change could and probably would disenfranchise parts of the fellowship. Just because we want the change or know to our toes that the change would be good for us doesn't mean the change ought to happen or happen the way we think it should. Personally, I hope we strive for an environment where everyone feels heard, has the time to express themselves, where we strive for substantial unanimity to provide an environment of inclusiveness. And along the way, we allow members to file petitions to be heard and make sure that those grievances are not viewed with judgment or fear of reprisal. And when grievances are addressed, they must be addressed without domineering or heavy-handed actions. I pass.
Thank you, Julianne.
Thank you, Julianne.
So now we'll open the floor for open discussion for about 35 minutes. Sharing will be limited to one share per person until everyone has had a chance to share. Please avoid crosstalk during this part of the meeting. We can have a Q&A if desired after the end of the meeting. And who would like to speak?
This is Kelly.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you so much, Julianne. I was nodding my head. This, relatively speaking, it's a small concept, but it speaks volumes, and it has been a little bit of a thorny issue with me personally because I do think the ACA Fellowship has some work to do around this one. And due to my laundry list traits, the fear of authority and the fear of speaking up is huge. And I also think that, the way we perceive people that speak up, I've been asked, well, does anybody else think the way you do? Do you have any other, as if me saying something wasn't enough? And I think the right to petition in the OPPM needs some work as we evolve and as we look at this from an ACA perspective. When I think of like an Al-Anon, I think of, well, how important is it really? And I don't think that's accurate for ACAers. So this one is really important to me, and it's really important to my recovery, and it's really important to me be involved in WSO service because one of the reasons I got involved is that I saw some things that didn't really jive with what I perceived was ACA's focus. And I've got a long way to go with understanding, the concepts and even the traditions on a deeper level. That's why I'm here, mainly for the concept study group. But I do think that, sticking your head in the sand, not speaking up, really does lend to a certain type of dominance, a certain type of authority that we as ACAers, I as an ACAer, am trying to find my voice with. And so thank you so much for your share.
Thanks for sharing, Kelly.
I'll speak next. Hi, my name is Yasmina. Thank you, Julianne. This is one of my favorite concepts in Al-Anon and ACA. Mainly because I know that side effect of growing up in a dysfunctional home for me was, in order to survive, I would make very fast decisions and I would act on my own. And so being sensitive to minority opinion has always saved me from making rash decisions that don't come from my adult self, but actually come from my child self. And I think that really works when, you know, scaled up to a fellowship, obviously. I do think it's, especially ACA, I feel is vulnerable to dominance, more so almost, I find. And for that reason, this concept is so important to, and study of this concept and understanding and implementation of this concept is really important for the health, long-term health of the fellowship and everyone's individual recovery. I guess I'm speaking, I really like related to a lot of things you shared. And, you know, I do think a real clear definition in OPPM of right of a petition, like making it very easy and understandable for a procedure and easily communicated to anyone is a very important aspect. So it can be a tool that people can use, or committees or subcommittees or groups can use clearly and effectively to offer differing points of view, which I think will always enrich any decision made by the fellowship or a group or a committee or whatever for a greater benefit and health and development and growth and recovery of this program. I think that's all I have to say. I don't think I have anything else to add. Thanks.
Thank you, Jasmina. Ernest, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
I'm Ernest. I'm an adult child. And happy to be here and recognize the traits and the concepts and the steps and the traditions and just as well, healthy practices, the right of petition, the right. I have an ACA, I have rights. I have a right to express to assert myself and allow others to assert themselves. As the minority, as the majority, recognition, recollection of salute in the recognition of an inner child, of a child. Coming from a dysfunctional home, growing up in recovery programs, those carryovers to my adulthood, even as I practice principles in my daily affairs, others may just as well practice top morality, top position, top virtue, because just as well, they're coming from their own lived experience. How would they ever know where I'm coming from, unless they build a relationship with me? And I'm not too much of the grandstander, Anonymity is a spiritual foundation for me. So many times I practice anonymity and allow others to do it as well. But just as well, I have an appreciation for page 605 in the Big Red Book, which is also number five. And inviting an interested party to attend an introductory meeting, providing them with time. So allowing a minority opinion, the space to be heard, but just as well, recognizing that that may not be the guilt feelings, the shame attack that may come along with being para-alcoholic codependent and dependent personality, sometimes doesn't come until afterward. And sometimes it actually I want to reach out to others to say, hey, thanks for sharing. You were heard. And just as well, practicing the basics of ACA membership, identity as an adult child, purpose of becoming my own loving parent, allowing others to be their loving parent, even on the top levels of whatever program I decide that I'm the primary member of. Here, I'm a primary member of ACA, and readdress grievances with my higher power, with the God of my understanding, it's a practice of self-love, self-awareness, and self-forgiveness. So that is consideration and democracy, as I have choice. I have choice to maintain a membership in ACA or go elsewhere. Communicate with those that interject. The adult to a games people play style, adult, child, adult. I'm the adult, you're the child. I'm in the top position, you're in a minority position. Or vacillate in the triangulation of negative excitement, which it reminds me of quadulation in 4, 5, 6, and 13 and 14, as I'm codependent and dependent, or a triangulation in a smaller way in the Cartman, completing this cycle of violence. Abandonment, anger, and top position. So triangulating 4, 5, 6, just as well. Not a workshop for Ernest here on the ComSense meeting. Appreciate the space to share.
Thank you, Ernest.
Hi, it's Mary Jo. I'll go next. Thank you for your lead, Julianne. I appreciate that. My thoughts maybe are a little scattered, but just a lot of things going on. We do have a right of petition. It is in the OPPM. It is in the process of being revised. Or we do have the process for it. It's being revised. So that, as Kelly had mentioned, in ACA, we find our voice, hopefully. That's what we're here to do. Many of us have a voice already. We've used it in different ways. I mean, I had a voice in my dysfunction that was, dysfunctional. And then in the program, I learned to have a voice in a different way. And when I have that voice, I want to be heard. Um, when the minority voice is spoken, the question then becomes, how is it spoken in a way that can be heard or that doesn't? I mean, I can be, or have been at times in my minority voice, abrasive. I've been timid at times because I'm not, because of maybe who I'm dealing with or whatever. But I look at how I say what I say, so that I, you know, principles before personalities as much as I possibly can do that. Then, so these are just sort of random thoughts. With so many voices, you know, how do we all get heard? And is it possible to hear all the voices? Where's the balance in that process? When do I become the intimidator by being speaking my minority voice? And I have done that. I keep all the emails. I just don't throw, I just don't delete stuff easily. And I went back and looked, and I think when I did my lead, I referred to this. I went back and looked at old emails from when I was first on the board and in the first few years, and realized that isn't who I really wanted to be in some of those emails. But I was finding my way, and I'm still finding my way. So with concept five, write a petition, minority opinion, airing grievances. I think there are processes that have to be refined in our program. I think there we have, I mean, I've been working on that with the OPPM committee. We keep trying, we keep working. And I keep sometimes fighting my instinct to give up the fight. And, but so far I'm sticking around. So there are my disjointed thoughts. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
I'm an adult child. My name's Rich. And Rich. As usual, my camera's not working. And actually, my internet connection said it was unstable a minute ago just with listening. So if my voice goes out, somebody start waving at me. And anyway, on concept five, you know, in ACA, we call it the right of petition, you know, ensuring that there always be the minority opinion and that will be heard, and other 12-step programs talk about it as the right of appeal. So whether it's the right of petition, the right of appeal, you know, we're saying the same thing. And, you know, for me, it was so important to really understand that, you know, my minority opinion. And when I look at my opinion compared to 7 billion other people is probably almost always a minority opinion. So, but I have the right to have my minority opinion. And, you know, one of the things that I've heard that I really like, oh, I'm going to back up. So, you know, Al-Anon has the 3 C's, right, of Al-Anon. You didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you can't control it. And I hope at some point ACA that we develop the 4 C's, and the 4 C's are, you know, courage over comfort. I have to have the courage to speak up and have my minority opinion instead of what's most comfortable for me to do is to just be quiet, disappear, and go into isolation. That's what I like doing. So courage over comfort. I have to have the courage to speak up. And so that's my part in finding my voice. And then the other half of the four C's is curiosity over confrontation. So if I'm hearing something in a group that I really disagree with, instead of me, because I used to always go to confrontation, oh my God, they think this way, I think this way, it's different, it's going to be a confrontation. So instead of it being a confrontation, it's a curiosity. Isn't it curious that they think differently than I do? Or isn't it curious that I think differently than they do? And it's so much easier to approach things from, isn't this curious, as opposed to, oh my God, it's going to be a confrontation. And, you know, and Julianne, thank you for your lead share. It was great. And thank you everyone else for everyone else's shares. And one of the thoughts and memories I had coming up, which I think stirred that little preface of a share that I had, was I can remember a group conscience we had once, and there was a minority opinion, and we asked for it, and one person spoke up, but then after the meeting, a couple other people came up, and they were really pretty pissed off that their minority opinions were not heard, and I pointed out that, well, there was time during the group conscience for minority opinions, and that would have been your time to speak up. And, you know, that's where the courage over comfort comes in, right? That was their time to have the courage to speak up. But a process I had to go through was really understanding that there are some times where I could not get small enough for other people to step up and find their own courage. I would keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, trying to get smaller and smaller so that they would have the space to be able to have the courage to speak up. And I absolutely believe that doesn't work. Now, do we have to keep the space open for a group? Absolutely. Hopefully in my personal relationships, do I have to be safe enough to allow space for someone to speak up? Yes. But, you know, for me to keep getting smaller and smaller in who I am, that doesn't work. And that was another big time strategy that I used to use. If I got small enough, then you'd be okay. Right. Anyway, thank you guys for being in my recovery path.
Thank you, Rich. So I feel like I need to jump in here. I think I owe an amends. I was chairing the meeting where Julianne was the one minority vote, and I did not call for a minority opinion. So instead of just sort of, I don't know the right word for it. I'll just call myself out on that. I think I have a hard time with the practice. I remember that sort of needing some reminders about that at the ABC as well. That does not, to me, reflect, to me personally, I'll just say that, my personal, I feel very appreciative of the need to hear the minority opinion, and I value when people speak up about the minority opinion. I just have a hard time with the process for some reason, which is something I have to look at. I am finding myself right now in my service work on the other side of that accusation of heavy-handedness. And so I'm trying to come to terms with that and figure out what I need to do in terms of, like, maybe having more openness to minority opinions and how to embrace that, how to practice that in my service work. It's an interesting dilemma to be in, because there's sort of my own, we were talking about, the lead was talking about hyper responsibility, and in my own tendency to take responsibility for things that might not be within the scope of my responsibilities, there's sort of this tendency to get resentful when other people don't pick up their side of the responsibility, their share of the responsibility, but then they're constantly making demands for special accommodations and special considerations. So that's a tension. That's definitely a tension to work through, specifically in service work, but also in all the other areas of my life, which is what I appreciate about the program and about service in the program, that I really get to face and work through some of my laundry list traits. So that's what I'll say, and I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm Julianne, and I think everyone has had a chance to speak. Laura,
no, Laura has not spoken.
Okay.
But I benefit, I'm sure, from anything you had said. So there's been so much been said, and I've got so many different exciting, awesome things that have come up from all that's been shared. Grateful for all of you, definitely. So how to file a grievance, how to file a petition, minority report, what cultures consider substantial unanimity. When I did outreach to the Native American community, my mom's in the back, excuse me. Hold on a sec, my daughter's coming in, so I think I'll have to share later. Okay, sorry.
Thanks, Laura.
Well, I'm going to pop in real quickly and say, I did not stick that in there as a gotcha. Okay, I really didn't. It was just, it happened yesterday. It was a very recent example and it fit. Thank you.
Thank you, Julianne.
And I'll pass.
I did not have the feeling it was personal, but it was a true point to make. So, yeah. We have about 8 more minutes, or maybe less if Laura comes back and wants to pick up where she just had to leave off.
Well, I would like to say one thing, and that is that it was really eye-opening to me to really look at the laundry list traits in terms of the concept. And I really appreciated the opportunity to do that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julianne. Laura, do you want to pick up again?
Okay, so I forgot exactly where I was, but that there should be a balance between on the minority opinion, when a minority opinion's been being given, I'm a little bit all over the page, excuse me, but that there be a balance there, that there be an accountability and a responsibility to balance between harmony, creating a harmony through gaining full participation of the body, or the people that need to speak and give their minority, but not let the tail wag the dog, and that they just not be able to, that hopefully it would be a place where they just not go off onto a rant, and that there'd be a balance there, kind of. So those were some things that was coming up for me. But yeah, I would love to see more about how to file a petition, how to file grievances, and I love the what was said about minority report. And I'd heard that when I was studying the concepts before with the AA concepts, that formal like minority reports have been actually done. So I'd like to see more or learn more about that, you know, and just what came up when someone was mentioning grievance in the past is in our archives that there used to be a grievance committee. And one of the things I love about our, that when we do have archives and we know what's there, we have a little bit more of our history, you know? So anyways, I know this is about concept 5. Thanks. That's all I have to share right now.
Thank you, Laura.
Can we speak again?
Sure, go ahead, Kelly. I think everybody here has had a chance to speak and we have 6 minutes left, so go ahead.
Yeah, it's such an interesting conversation. I know you've so appreciated everything I've heard. I honestly feel like anybody that's been in service work, you know, for any period of time could and would have some sort of thoughts on this topic. And I'm thinking of my own experience in, you know, motions. I tend to be somebody, you know, motions don't come to me quickly. Like I tend to want to hear and process what I'm hearing. And oftentimes in committee meetings, there's motions presented fairly quickly. I've had to learn how to kind of gather thoughts, trim the fat from my thoughts, as I call it, and, you know, be willing to speak up, you know, pretty quickly, which I've often found that it's not that I don't have a thought or something that might be minority. It's just, it doesn't come quick enough. Although I also have noticed that, you know, I've been on committees where, you know, there's this feeling like there's a lot of talk and not, you know, not a lot actually gets done. I know I've felt that frustration at times. Is it more important? I ask myself, is it more important to actually have the discussions and take longer than to just push into a motion and push into a group conscious decision and, you know, push. So that's the balance that I'm also finding interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. So we do have more time. I hope Mary Jo will be rejoining us. We can also, if there's no need for further comment on the concept, we can also make the decision to end this portion of the meeting. Thanks, Rich. Take care.
See you, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, Rich.
Bye, Rich.
So this is Laura. One of the things I did, but I didn't have enough, I didn't get to read all of it, was I looked at the different concept 5 in ACA, CODA, Emotions Anonymous. I like how they word theirs and CODA's too. In CODA, they use the word honor and uphold. I really like that. But in NA, what they put down was for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. So I really like that accountability should be defined, because especially as an ACA, like it's important to know what guidelines would be good to follow for that service position. So anyways, that's what's coming up. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, I stuck my hand up, but I'm going to go ahead and
go ahead, Julianne. I hadn't even seen that. Sorry, I was writing down.
Come. I wrote some notes about different organizations' fifth steps. So what I wrote about NA, and I completely forgot until it was brought up, is that they don't specifically address the minority opinion in their concept, which was disturbing to me. And then I continued reading and they do kind of, but it's way down in another concept. CODA was interesting. Again, although the CODA concepts do not specifically mention minority opinions, I loved the way their concepts clearly delineated the difference between the rights of the conference and the duties of the Board of Trustees. It was incredible. So that's just as an aside for future concept study. CODA had some really interesting wording in theirs. And so thank you for bringing other concepts in, because I had looked at a bunch of them, and I'll pass on that.
Thank you, Julianne. So this is my final call for any comments on concept 5. And if we don't have any, I'm going to end the recording here.